Trigger warning, Death and Friends is not a podcast for the light of heart. Many dark and serious subjects will come up. Listener discretion is advised.
Nish, press the butter, please.
Don't you mean the butter?
Buddy, you gotta stop, okay? All right, we've been in France for a week already, and I can't keep doing this. At some point, I'm gonna have a stroke.
Oh.
Come on. Hurry up, carb up. Come on. We got a lot of walking to do.
You said we were gonna go see the Eiffel Tower and then the Louvre. If I can see those from here?
Okay, now what if I told you that Melody is waiting for you at the most romantic place in the entirety of Europe?
The Eiffel Tower is a little gay, even for me.
No, what? No. I said the most romantic place.
No way.
Hi, Melody.
Hi, Angel.
Where are you exactly?
I'm waiting in the catacombs where you told me to be. So, is Nash coming?
Gotta go.
Nash, wait.
That's because I'm off.
I have tickets. You can only get them online. Okay. All right. Well,
fucking... Your check, Monsieur.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, but let me just... Oh, God damn it. She took my card again.
All right. Here we go. Death comes for us all. You might as well make it your friend.
Your friend.
With us on Death and Friends.
Bonjour, Skeleton Army. I'm Angel, and this horny little guy in the shape of a fucked up croissant is Nash.
Honestly, dude, that whole night was amazing. It was so...
scary, eerie, full of bones?
Felt like a rom-com written for me and, like, me only.
Okay, well, today's episode is about the setting of Nash's wedding, if she ever decides to make an honest woman out of our secretary, the Paris Catacombs.
It'd be more of a rager than a wedding, but... I digress.
Paint the goddamn picture.
The catacombs of Paris, or as we uncultured folks say, the catacombs of Paris.
Okay, speak for yourself, white devil.
Okay, the Paris catacombs is an over 200 mile network of tunnels, former mines, and a lot of bones. Angel, what is this?
Read it.
This is bad, and you should feel bad.
Fine, I'll do it. Cue the music, Dom. Ahem. France. The year is the 5th century.
What?
We are at the main central cemetery, the Notre Dame of Du Bois. Oh, sorry, I read that wrong.
I hate that so much.
Notre Dame de Bois. Is that a hunchback? I wouldn't know. I never saw that movie. While the Tunnel of Bones is very interesting and rad, arguably everything that led to it is... Hang on, let me double check my calculator. That's right. The math checks out. 1,000 times more interesting.
Okay, just stop, please. Look. Here, have this Capri Sun.
Now, omelette du fr... Wait, you think you can shut me up with Capri Sun?
Yes, I do. Here.
Okay, facts, give me that.
Let's start at a central location, namely... the central location. Notre Dame de Bois, which then becomes the Holy Innocent Cemetery. This is the main cemetery of Paris, expanding through the Rue de Saint-Denis, and then the Rue de Ferronier? We're guessing. Throughout different invasions, regimes, and people... doing deaths, by the end of the 18th century, there's a 2-meter-high mound of earth filled with the remains of almost 15 years of dead Parisians, which is a dope-ass band name, and I claim it.
So, if you're ever feeling bad about the pile of dirty laundry in your room, I mean, you should still clean it up. Yeah. You're like, you know, it's good for your mental health. But, you know, it's not as bad as, you know, the 15 years of dead Parisians.
It's the laundry chair's official slogan. Not as bad as Paris.
It's May 31st, 1780, when a basement wall that is next to the cemetery breaks through under the weight of the mass tomb, and as someone who lives in a basement unit, no thanks!
Mind you, these types of collapses are a pretty regular thing by then.
No thanks!
Considering Paris's collection of limestone quarries beneath the city and its rapid expansion, because nothing says civic responsibility quite like building a giant pyramid and a giant cathedral on top of land that has a giant hole underneath it.
It's even smarter because they built the giant pyramid and giant cathedral with the rocks beneath the city, and the lack of those rocks beneath the city made the holes that the rocks then sat on top of. It's like fucked up Jenga.
Hey Siri, how do you say consequences of my actions in French?
Les oopsies.
But this collapse is the one that gets Paris officials thinking, okay, it's probably time to do something about all the dead guys.
You also have to remember that this is a time when people didn't know about germs a whole lot. But even Parisians were like, okay, man, everything is like bad around here, man. And everything goes bad. And we should like do something about it. That's my very accurate French accent.
May God have mercy on our souls. French writer Louis-Sébastien Mercier.
Probably. We're trying our best.
We're doing our damnedest. Described it best. Quote,
it cadaverous miasmas threaten to poison the atmosphere. And the cadaverous humidity of the cemetery's walls had the, quote, effects of venom, man.
Which is all fancy French people talk for.
Stinky.
Yeah, that one.
Smelly?
You know it's bad when the king, you know, the historical equivalent of a trust fund kid with a police force family, is like, hey, we should probably do something about that dead people hill. That's my French accent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
France, Ireland.
From the emerald fields of France. Ah, yes. King Louis XVI.
The 16th.
Whatever. So he inherits some debt. And everyone's mad that he married Kirsten Dunst.
Marie Antoinette?
He is still pimply at 19 when he becomes king. And everyone is starting to get just a little bit pissed off about him being king in general.
It's almost like monarchies are stupid and bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wants to tax people more, but that wasn't happening. And he's also spending money like crazy.
Does this guy have anything going for him?
He's white.
Oh, yeah. Fair.
Look, he's getting backlash from like the Seven-Year War. He lost territory to Britain.
Of all places.
Yeah, it's a lot. So he's having a not so good, horribly bad year.
He does make a pretty solid decision in the sea of not so hot ones.
He has his head chopped off?
Yeah, pretty sure he didn't decide that one on his own. No, he decrees that all burials within city limits are banned, and he chooses the quarries beneath the plain of Montrouge, located outside the capital.
Ah, yes, the quarries. See, France is basically built on top of a swamp. It's humid and wet.
They're really selling France here.
It's yucky and gross.
This is reminding me of someplace.
Yeah, it's a bit like Scenic Fall River.
Ah, yes. The summer mud butt.
Scenic Fall River, where you can murder your parents and still have a cottage industry that pays surprisingly well.
Murder?
So under the city of Paris, there are large limestone deposits. I'm sure there's a scientific reason. Angel can tell us about it.
I'm sorry, what?
You don't know about limestone deposits?
Why the fuck would I know about that?
Why wouldn't you know about limestone? What?
What?
Okay, wow. Who doesn't know about limestone deposits? This is, okay. This is embarrassing.
What are you even...
Paris is built on top of what is known as Lucian limestone. Through the 12th century, there are official mines to take out the stone and build France, basically. God, I knew rocks were to blame for France.
You have the weirdest opinions.
The problem is that Paris over the centuries regularly mined those limestone deposits and never mapped them.
Keep in mind that this is the official mining operations. Then there's the, not-so-official ones.
The underground operations, if you will. If you will.
I got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's also the Mushroom Boys, so that's cool.
Is it boys or bois?
Nice. Well, yeah, so once they start mining that area, someone figures out that, like, hey, this is, like, dark and humid and probably where a lot of collective athlete's foot comes from. What if we grew mushrooms here? You know, the most popular one. Agaricus bisporus, apologies if I mispronounced that, a.k.a. champignon, a.k.a. whitehead mushrooms.
Of course French people would give us edible rubber plants. Only the French could want to chew on things that grew in the land's version of halitosis.
Hey, so what's wrong with you?
Oh,
also the underground became a popular place to brew beer, with it being all human and such. There are underground beer gardens down there at one point.
Cool.
All right. Anyway, while bodies are piling up in the cemetery, is that what you want to hear?
Yeah, I do. But yeah, the bodies hit the floor and then keep going.
Okay, all right.
The underground basement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Guess what happens in 1774?
Oh, I feel like a joke at my expense is coming.
Nash Moms arrives in Paris, which means a giant sinkhole opens up and kills people who fall 80-something feet to their deaths.
Those poor, poor Parisians.
Kudos to your dad for handling all that.
I hate you.
Yeah, probably.
King Louis decides he's going to do something about it since the Rue de l'Enfer, a.k.a. the Road to Hell.
A.k.a. Mama Nash.
Since the sack of bodies in the cemetery is literally killing people.
Now, you would think it was the giant hole that killed more people. But it was actually the cemetery that killed them. So, you know, it's a little... It's like rain!
In addition to murder, the pile of dead Parisians made it so people couldn't breathe due to the smell of death, which was described like a spoiled milk and rotted meat.
Gross.
In 1780, Louis decrees the people can't be added to le pile, but it's not enough, so he decides to do some math. He's got one giant hole and one giant pile of bones, and it's time to make 1 + 1 equal one big underground pile of dead guys.
The math is mathing.
Mm-hmm.
So in December 1785, workers began exhuming bodies from Holy Innocents in the specter of the night.
I mean, I know you're saying that as a bit, but like, honestly, the dream.
And they started taking the remains to the city's catacombs at night and carting them by torchlight to their new resting place.
So cool.
I know, that's pretty fucking sick, right? Like, goddamn. Don't have to talk to nobody.
In the dark?
Just you and bones.
Just me and bones. The catacombs are then consecrated on April 7th, 1786, and renamed the Paris Municipal Ossuary from the original name, which was Ye Old Pit of Former Guys.
They do hit a bit of a wall and stop production a bit.
Production of dead guys?
No. See, the assigned chief inspector, Charles Axel Guillaumont.
French guy, three names?
See, he is assigned to fix the quarries once that first sinkhole opened, you know, when your mom showed up. 5 years later, the king stops burials in the cemetery, giving Charles the exact kind of material he needs to fix the quarries, i.e. bones, bone math. And of course, then 5 years after that...
La Révolution.
Yes, providing even more... We're going to go with material.
Oof.
Yeah. But finally, construction gets finished up with the ossuary opening in 1809.
I love that the French were like, look, hey... We're building a basement of bones under our whole city, but we need a year off to murder the current government.
Slay.
Housing the skeletal remains of some 6 to 7 million former Parisians, the 1.5 kilometer circuit of catacombs is a one-way only. 131 steps to go down and 112 steps to climb up.
What's happening right now?
Tickets to the catacombs are only available online. Duration of the visit is around 45 minutes with audio tours available in English, Deutsch, Espanol, and French.
Do you work for the tourism board?
Okay. Look, Nash.
What?
Read the number on this paper. Here. Here.
Oh, please. How can... With a constant temperature of 14 degrees Celsius, the site is not recommended for motor disabled, pregnant women, individuals suffering from claustrophobia or cardiac or respiratory insufficiency, and sensitive individuals who may be disturbed by the site. Because only 200 visitors are allowed inside at a time, long lines can form outside the catacombs, so please be sure to plan ahead. As a quick reminder, no flash photography or touching of the skeletal remains, unless you wish to summon unspeakable evil among your fellow visitors.
Paris, we got spooky shit here too.
We're good. Got word from Jen that the check cleared.
Oh, good. Jesus Christ, that fucking hurt. Oh, God.
You have got to stop gambling with the Germans.
And you got to stop stealing my goddamn card. So anyway, the catacombs are a rather incredible sight, with skeletal remains set up in an ornate but functional manner to make the path and the ossuary easy to travel. Granted, the entirety of the tunnels are still not mapped, which is sort of, you know, the mystery.
I'm going to be a grown-up for once and say, no, we're not going to play the game of what could be in the tunnels.
Yes, unless you speak of the spirits.
No.
Okay, fine. The monsters.
No, senor.
Okay, how about criminals and urban adventurers?
Or how about the morbidly beautiful pieces of art all throughout, like a tower made of femurs and skulls?
Or how rages were held there by King Charles X.
No, wait. Did you say spirits?
Yeah, like five things ago.
Yeah, that reminds me.
Fun facts with Nash.
Despite bearing a sign that says, stop, this is the Empire of Death at its entrance, only one person has actually died in the catacombs. That we know of, anyway. That one guy is also reportedly haunting the catacombs, and his name, if you want to have a chat with him while you're visiting, is, regrettably, Philibert Aspart, which sounds like a really which sounds like a really shitty French detective with an impressive mustache and an even more impressive ability to accidentally solve crimes. Philibert is a doorkeeper for a French hospital. Let's not worry about why a hospital needs a door guy right now. In 1793, which is smack dab in the middle of the revolution, he wanders down into the catacombs one night for maybe spooky reasons, maybe regular reasons, who knows, and he's not seen again for 11 years, and his body is found in 1804.
Oh, okay, so he donated his body to science. A spooky science.
The predominant theory is that Aspart was looking for a secret back way into the brewery, and his candle went out, and he got lost, and he just kind of perished.
The real Le Oopsie.
He was reinterred where he was found, which is actually a little rude of them, to be honest. Like, imagine getting lost, and then someone finally finds you, they tell your family your story, and then they just rebury you where you got lost in the first place.
They were like, that means they took his body out, and were like, well, yep, that's him. All right, put him back.
Brought him back.
There's actually a really good spot here that he fits in. They just crammed him in. Like how you stuff somebody in a locker.
They like built the ossuary around him.
Yeah, they stuffed him into a skull locker, which sounds cool on paper, but it's not.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's kind of weird that no one found anything for 11 years. Because it probably took him a while to visit, huh?
His family?
Yep.
Yeah. And on that note, that's the episode. A special thanks to you, our favorite Alive listener. Remember to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. A rate and review would probably help us remember which way gets us back out of these catacombs. Please and thank you.
Melody said she had a map, but I haven't seen Melody in 3 hours, so...
Yeah, look, these candles are getting real fucking Philibert Aspart. So...
Anyway, you can follow us on socials, postmortem. I am at Guerrilla Jokes, GUERRILLA Jokes.
And I'm at It's Nashville.
You can also follow the podcast, where we drop incredibly specific memes and unhinged selfies at Death and Friends Podcast.
Would you like to live deliciously? Become a member of the Skeleton Army and join us on Patreon. We have exclusive and early release content there, like Beyond the Grave.
I'm curious as to, like, the one death on this show that's, like, stuck with you, just listening to it, like, the one episode that you feel like either haunted you or, like, just a death that just sort of, like, echoes that you remember.
The guy jacking it at Pompeii. That, I don't know why, it's just, it's stuck in my head forever.
But he wasn't.
He wasn't.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and Dom doesn't have a full-size mirror right above his bed.
Exactly. How can you explain the mirror?
Hold on. I don't need it. Zoom is my video is technically mirrored.
Oh boy.
Okay. Oh Christ. Where are both of your hands?
Yeah, where's your second hand? Show me your hand.
This is my left hand. This is my right hand.
He's alternating.
Both on at the same time.
More importantly, we use the funds to cover our sound guy's medical bills. In order to properly write medical facts, we expose Dom to all the illnesses and ways to die we talk about on the show.
What did we do this week, Nash?
Well, I can't speak for you, but I definitely offended at least 5 ghosts in those catacombs. And that's not even counting the homophobic ones.
Good for you, I guess?
Thanks. It felt nice to give something back to the dead community.
Speaking of Patreon, it's time to honor a member at the Brendan Fraser level. Praise be... Oh, who did we praise last time before that? Praise be Emilia.
And praise be Brendan Fraser. So check it out at patreon.com/deathandfriends. For more information, visit deathandfriends.gay. Because... we are great. And gay.
Anyway, hey, did you hear about this?
No.
Death is, it's tricky to talk about. So, we need you to remember something super important, all right? You are loved, you matter, and if you don't want to be your own friend, we will happily be your friend.
I won't take 11 years to find you if you get lost in a scary underground maze of bones while trying to find a beer. It'll be 10 years, but still.
And, I don't like French cooking, so.
Snails and shit.
Until next time, Skeleton Army. Stay spooky. Love you.
Je t'aime.
This has been a Knavery Inc. podcast. Go to knaveryinc.com for more details. Executive produced by Jacob Duffy Halbleib. Audio design by Dominic Guanzon. Themes and transitions by Amy Doe.
The fuck is a knave?
I snapped, Dom. Sorry.
He snapped and killed me.
Murder!
Death?
Phone dial. I guess FaceTime noises. I don't know.
Phone dialing.
I don't know. I was very tired when I wrote this.
Actually,
you
yes,
there,
do,
waiter.
Do
yeah. Hello, Jeff.
Death.
I'm waiting for Nash in the catacombs. That's where you told me.
After like shift my...
Yeah. You have to remove your Adam's apple for a second.
Yeah, I had to drop it back into my throat. Gotta go. That's because I'm all... Just like...
I love the idea of the mix, like, excusez moi!
Death?
Bonjour, Skeleton Army. I'm Angel, and this horny little guy in the shape of a fucked up person.
Oh. You read it so straight.
It was doing so well.
Death?
No. We can't share this Capri Sun.
Everything reminds me of her. Okay, I just insert like slurping noises. Actually, Dom, go to the store, buy Capri Sun, and yeah, record please. Yourself drinking the shit out of it.
Like, we need pretend this. You're Angel and drink the Capri Sun. It's called method acting.
Yeah, get your shit together.
Come on, Dom. It's like you don't even want to work for this podcast.
I know. It's like we're constantly a source of stress for you with our tardiness all the time.
And just the fact that we act like we don't like you all the time.
That is true. That being said, I love you more than Ash. Keep going, Ash.
Death?
Anyway, I fully give everyone permission to roast the shit out of me in
also
reviews.
Me. Full disclosure. We are bad at French.
And most, well, I'm bad at most languages, but particularly this one. But you are required to write a review that's 5 stars, and then you can roast me for this.
In fact, say 5 stars and be like, these are pity stars. They suck so much at the French.
France, destroy us. Thank you.
Death?
French writer... Fuck you, France.